right. We've been looking at a study of who is God the Father, and in our study we're looking at the names of God. We've looked at the name El and Elohim, they're related, and then compound names off of that. And then we looked at the name Yahweh or Jehovah. Those are two different pronunciations of the same name. Okay, we spent a good bit of time on that, or working around missions conference and other events that we've had here. Today we're going to pick up on the next name on the list that we're going to look at, and that is the name Adonai. Adonai. All right. So let's jump into it right there. Adonai. All right. This word is not a it's not an obscure word. This root word is used over 600 times in the Old Testament. Its New Testament counterpart, which is also translated the same way, but the New Testament word is used almost 750 times. Okay, so this is a name of God that we find 1,300 plus times in the Scriptures, so it's definitely worth a little bit of investigation. Okay, it is from the root word we'll talk about here in a minute, but this, it's a term. The root term is used both of men and of God. Look with me in Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 12. We're going to start there. We'll look at several scriptures this morning. Just by nature of doing a study of the names of God, we'll do more of bouncing from place to place as opposed to staying in one chapter. But this term, the term is used both of men and of God. It's from the root word Adon, that's the singular form, which means Lord, Master, or Owner. Okay, you got Genesis 18, look at verse number 12. Well, verse 11 will pretty much remind you of the story, okay? Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also." Okay, this story in Genesis 18, all right, what has God just told Abraham about Sarah? Okay, that she's going to have a son. And she said, look, you know, I'm past that stage of life. It's not physically possible. Okay, which, that's okay. That's what God wanted. God wanted them to get to the point where they realized it was impossible, and the only way it would happen would be if God did it. But you see here, this term that Sarah uses in Genesis 18 and verse 12, the very last phrase of the verse, "My Lord, being old also," we'll have another reference. But that term is Adon, right? It's the singular form, which simply means Lord, Master, or ownership. Okay, interesting. This word Adon is related to the term Baal. Now, when you hear the term Baal, what do you think of? First thing comes to your mind. Idolatry, false gods, all right? Idol worship. Exactly right. But the word Baal simply means Lord or Master, okay? But and early on, that term was used in that way by the Jewish people. But as the term Baal became associated with the worship of false gods, right? Give you a for instance. When a missionary is preparing to go to an Arabic-speaking place, okay, one of the things they have to wrestle with is, you know, what terminology they're going to use. Okay, if I say the name Allah, what do you think of? Islam or Muslims, you know, whichever way you would say it. Okay. Okay, when I say Allah, you think of Muslims. But you know what the word Allah is? It's the word God in Arabic. Okay? So, if a missionary is going to minister to Arabic-speaking people, they have to decide, are they going to use the term Allah or not? Okay? And if you don't use the term God, then how are you going to refer to them? Okay? So what they have to do is use the word God, but explain to them, I'm talking about the God of the Bible, not the God of the Quran. Okay? Well, in the same way, Baal is a term that meant Lord or Master, and it was sometimes used of you know, leadership or that kind of thing. And it may have at one time, you know, you might refer to God that way. But as the term Baal became associated with worship of false gods, the Jews began to use the term Adon or Adonai to refer to their God. Okay? This singular form is used frequently in reference to men, referring to leadership or authority. All right? I've already read with you Genesis 18, verse 12, but that is quoted in 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 6. Peter was talking about God's, you know, structure in the home, and he said, and quoted reference back to this, said, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Okay? Now, I'm not advocating that's what you have to do when you go home. He was talking about the pattern of authority and responsibility in the home. But that is quoted in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6, the use of this term Adon referring to men. If you're in Genesis 18, look across the page to Genesis 19. Verse number 1, there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat on the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Verse 2, and he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house. So it was a term of respect, term that you'd use for someone who ranked higher than you, and he obviously recognized there was something else going on here, but it's used there. 1 Samuel, let's read a couple of these. All right, Jed, find 1 Samuel 1, verse 15. Tim, 1 Samuel 16, verse 16. And Doc, if you wouldn't mind finding 2 Samuel 11, and verse number 11. Okay, it's used, the term is used to refer to men as a leader or someone in authority. Right? 1 Samuel 1, verse 15. Okay, so Hannah is strongly desiring a son, and who's she speaking to right there when she says, my Lord? Eli, right? So she referred to the high priest as Lord. Tim? Okay, so who's referred to as Lord in that verse? King Saul, right? Exactly right. Of course, that's when David came and played his harp when the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul. Okay? 2 Samuel 11, 11. Am I the only one that when you read that, it feels kind of weird to say, my Lord, Joab? I mean, do we talk that way today? No, we don't. Why? Because when we talk about my Lord, right, today, do we normally associate that term with whom? With God, okay? So, but what I'm trying to get you to see is this same term is used different ways in the Scripture, but as it came to be used of God himself, well then, you know, we don't refer to men that way as much anymore, but the root word, the basic term simply refers to God. It even referred to Joab, who was a great soldier, not a man of the highest integrity all the time, okay? But you have this form is used to refer to men. A few times, this singular form, Lord, a few times it's used to refer to God. Exodus 34 and verse number 23. Read this. Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. In that case, Lord is Adon, and God is Jehovah. Okay? God, in that case, God is in all caps, G-O-D, all right? And so, but there it's used, the singular form, the Lord God is used speaking of the Lord, all right? It's used the same way in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Turn over to Psalm 110 with me this morning. Would you do that? I think this one will be familiar to you. Besides that, I think the exercise of just moving a little bit helps us stay awake. Psalm 110, verse 11. You got that, Justin? Read it good and loud for us. Okay? The Lord, the first one is all caps. So that, what's that name? Jehovah or Yahweh. Okay? Said unto my Lord, right? There it is again. Adonai. Set thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. This very verse is quoted in Hebrews. Okay? And it's Hebrews chapter 1 as a prophecy of who? Christ, the Messiah, Jesus. Okay? All those are correct answers. But this very verse is quoted. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Hebrews chapter 1, in talking about how Christ was superior to everything else, quotes this verse and tells us plainly that it refers to Christ. Okay, so there's a few times where this form is used of God, but primarily there's a different form of this word that refers to God. All right, you with me so far? All right. All right, so the singular form, Adon, is used frequently of men. All right. Adonai is a special plural form. Okay, so Im, it would be the end, like Elohim is the plural form. A lot of times you think if a word ends with I-M, you know, in the Old Testament, it's probably a plural form. Not always, but a lot of the time. Well, this has a little bit different ending, but this is a special plural form with a possessive ending, right? So literally, it would be my lords, if I were going to render it literally. It was a special form, right? That just like Elohim, right? This term Adonai is a plural form with a singular meaning. In other words, in the beginning, God, plural, created, singular verb. Okay? There is a reference to the Father, Son, and Spirit and the Trinity. It's kind of tied in there. It's not explained in great detail. Okay? In the same way, you have, when this term Adonai is used of God, you have a implied acknowledgement of the same thing, right? You're not going to win a debate, you know, trying to make your argument from this word alone, but there is an implication on that as well, okay? But Adonai is a plural word with a singular meaning, okay? Theological word book, the Old Testament, that's Tiwat, okay, tells us the personal possessive ending is almost never translated, all right? What do I mean by that? Genesis 18:12, where Sarah said, you know, I'm too old, and said, my Lord is old also, right? My Lord is, you know, how this would be translated. You know, my Lord, it was translated that way of Abraham. But if we were going to literally translate it, we'd say my lords every time it's used of God. Most of the time that my is left off because it's understood this was a special form that was used of God, okay? All right, when it's used of God, it's translated almost all the time, very consistently, is translated Lord, okay? Capital L, little O-R-D, okay? The translators of our English Bible did a great job of helping us to distinguish between these things, okay? Very consistently, the name, I mean, it's not 100%, there is a little bit of overlap, but very, very consistently, the name El or Elohim is translated God. The name Jehovah or Yahweh is translated all caps. Most of the time it's Lord. A few times it's God all caps, but it's translated all caps. Most of the time when you see Lord, capital L, little O-R-D, it's the name Adonai. Okay? So, excuse me. It's used, when speaking of God, the term Adonai is used frequently in Psalms, Lamentations, and then the later prophets, what we would call the major and minor prophets, okay? It's used a little bit, but not as much in the earlier part of the Old Testament, okay? But that's where we would find it most frequently, Adonai, speaking of God, all right? This term Adonai is used in a few names, all right? We don't have a whole list of compound names like the Lord my banner, the Lord my rock, or those kind of things, all right? But there's in Judges 1:5, we read about Adonai Bezek. You know what it means? Lord of Bezek. You see Adonai, right? It means Lord. What else? Who's Bezek? I don't know. What does the name Bezek mean? None of the lexicons I looked at can tell me either. Okay? But you see, you can see in this name what I was telling you a minute ago about there being a correspondence between Adonai and Baal, meaning Lord or Master. Right? He was named after the Lord of Bezek, whoever that was. Okay? But there's another name we find in 2 Samuel chapter 3. Adonijah. Okay, 2 Samuel chapter 3 is giving us a listing of David's sons. And long about, I think it's son number 4, we come across Adonijah. Okay, later on, at the very end of David's life, Adonijah would try to insert himself into the picture, and it didn't turn out well for him because God wanted Solomon. But Adonijah, right? You see, if we break it up into its two parts, it's Adonai and then Jah, which would be Adonai Jehovah. So what does the name Adonijah mean? Jehovah's my Lord, okay? My Lord is Jehovah, whichever way you want to say it, right? So you see that in a few places. It's not, the names are not as frequent as some of the other ones, okay? So, when used of God, what is the significance? What is the emphasis of the name Adonai, okay? When used of God, the term Adonai emphasizes, I'm going to about 5 or 6 things here. The first one is authority, okay? Many, many times, this phrase, Lord God, okay, is used over 200 times just in the book of Ezekiel. Remember we said this term Adonai is used a lot in Psalms and the later prophets, okay? Many, many times, Ezekiel says, thus saith the Lord God, okay? What does that emphasize? God, Jehovah, was the, if you want to say it that way, the personal name of God, right? At the burning bush, when God appeared to Moses and he said, when they asked me who sent you, what name am I going to give them? And he said, you tell them, I am that I am sent you. And that I am that I am is a literal translation of the name Jehovah. All right? He said, you tell them, I am that I am sent you. Okay, so I am that I am, that's the personal name. That was the name of God that was special, if you will, to the people of Israel. Okay, so that emphasizes the person of God. And of course, the person of God, you know, there's other things implied. But then Lord God emphasizes authority. Okay, the term Lord means master or owner. Okay, so thus says Jehovah, who is your master, your Lord, your God. Okay, so that phrase is an emphasis on God's authority. I want you to look with me, if you're in Psalms, turn back a little bit to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 5. This is probably a familiar story to most of you. But I think Joshua chapter 5 illustrates the understanding that when we learn that God is the Lord. Okay? Now, can I just stop right here? I'll make some application here in a minute. But I can just stop right here. How many times do we go in prayer, particularly public prayer, and use the name Lord? And, you know, how many of those times are we thinking about what it means? Okay? I mean, sometimes it's just what we've learned to say. Or, you know, it's a name that we know, we don't always think about what it means. Okay? Joshua chapter 5 illustrates for us how we ought to view this. All right? Of course, Joshua chapter 5, Israel has crossed the Jordan River. They were all circumcised, the ones that had not been circumcised during the wilderness wanderings. Okay, and then they're contemplating what's next. All right, so let's drop down to verse number 13. Joshua 5, verse 13. Came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no. Love that answer. Are you for us or them? No. But as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Okay? Captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua fell down on his face to the earth and did worship. And he said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Okay? Implied in that is when you see Joshua fell on his face and did worship, he understood. When he said, are you on our side or their side? And he said, no, I'm on God's side. I'm the captain of the Lord's host. Joshua realized, okay, I better get myself in line here. I better be lined up with God, not worried about if it's on us or their side. But he said, what saith my Lord to his servant? Okay, you have the use of the term Adon here, or Adonai. But the idea is, okay, you're the boss. I'm the servant. What do you want me to do? Okay? That is implied, and not just implied, it's inherent in the name. That's the basic meaning of the word Adonai, is Lord. In other words, you're in charge. So Adonai signifies authority. Isaiah chapter 6, It's the familiar story where Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he saw a vision of the throne room of heaven. Okay, we've touched on this passage before because there's several names of God used in this passage. Okay, in Isaiah 6, verse 3, it says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, Jehovah of hosts." That's Jehovah Sabaoth, okay, Lord of Sabbath. "The whole earth is filled with his glory." And Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away. Verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying," all right, that's Adonai right there. "Heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then he said, Here am I, send me." If you drop down to verse 11, "Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant." It goes on. But there is an acknowledgement in the way this term is used by Isaiah that once he said, "All right, Lord, I'll do it," then God was the one that gave the instructions. When, where, how long, to whom. Okay? The name Adonai signifies authority. It also signifies power. Let's see here. Brett, can you look at Jeremiah 32, verse 17 for me? Nathaniel, 1 Corinthians 6, 14. Kyle, Revelation 11 and verse 17. Okay? Now, are these somewhat overlapping?
Sure.
Okay? But there's an emphasis here. The name Lord, Master, it symbolizes, signifies power. Jeremiah 32 and verse number 17. Did I stall long enough, Brett? I should have given you a bigger head start. Lord God, again, it's Adonai, Jehovah. Okay, so, but he said in the end of the verse, "There's nothing that's too hard for thee." All right, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 14, Nathaniel. Okay, the power, God raised up the Lord, that's speaking of Jesus, and then will raise us up, speaking of New Testament believers. Revelation 11, verse 17. Okay, so the term Adonai signifies authority. It signifies power. Okay, it obviously signifies deity as well. All right, Psalm 35 and verse number 23, we read this. "Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord." All right, then in Psalm 38, verse 15, very similar statement by David. "For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God." Okay? Now, this was quoted in John chapter 20 and verse number 28. Brother Jim, can you grab that for us? I mean, in Psalm 35, we read, verse 23, we read this statement. "Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even to my cause, my God and my Lord." All right? And then John 20. This is verse number 28. This is the story after Christ has risen from the dead. All right, what do we read there? Okay. What event preceded that? I mean, what had just happened to Thomas? Okay, he's doubting. He's seen Christ. Thomas had just got done saying to the other disciples, "I'm not going to believe unless..." what? "Unless I see it, unless I can touch it." Well, then Jesus shows up in the midst of them and says, "Here you go, Thomas, you can touch it." Okay? And then Thomas's statement is, "My Lord and my God." Okay? It's an acknowledgement of his authority, his power, but especially his deity. Okay? He's saying, "You're God. Truly you are the Son of God." Okay? So you have in this name, a recognition of the deity of God. In Daniel chapter 9, in verse number 19, we see implied in this is reverence. Daniel here in this part of the book of Daniel. It's the part where he begins to pray and to confess the sins of Israel. He says, "My Lord, we've sinned, we've done wickedly, and we're asking you to forgive us and to restore us." Okay? Look with me in a Psalm, if you will, Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Another aspect of the name Adonai here. Psalm 16 and verse number 2. Jared, you got that? Read it good and loud for us. Psalm 16, verse 2. Okay, do you see a little two-letter word that's repeated three times there? My. Yep. Okay. But now, think about that. When you come back to the middle of the verse, "My soul, thou hast said unto the Lord," that one's all caps, that's the name Jehovah, "thou art my Lord." What does that signify? It signifies relationship. Okay? There's a relationship of a servant to a master, but in this, is this expressed in terms of great angst and fear? Or is this expressed in the relationship of a servant who trusts that his master will take care of him? Okay? Who knows that his master loves him? Who knows that, well, though he's dependent on his master will never fail him? I mean, that's the aspect here. But the name Lord signifies relationship. Now, look up the list, two things there. You see deity, and you see relationship. That's something that none of the followers of the false gods around the Israelites had any understanding of. Okay? Every one of them, they were afraid of their gods. I mean, you look at all the cultures with idols and false gods. Do any of them portray a loving God who meets the needs of his people? All of them portray aspects of fear. Okay? A God who is angry, a God who must be appeased, a God whom, if you don't bring the right sacrifice, will just refuse to help you. Okay? You must bring greater gifts because obviously your gifts weren't enough to make him like you. Okay? There is no other God other than our God who relates to his servants in the same way. Okay? God relates to us in a way of love and of care. It's something that I think many times we take for granted. Okay? Especially if, you know, this is what we've been taught, maybe from a child, maybe from the time we got saved. But sometimes I don't think we just grasp the significance of that. That the God, the Creator, the one who has the authority, the one who has the power, the one who is deity, wants to have a relationship with you and me. Okay? And allows us to, not only understanding that the biggest hurdle to that relationship is our own sin, he provided a way for that to be paid for so that the relationship could be restored. Okay? That is our Lord, and he is our master, but you have that sense of a loving relationship. Okay? It also brings a sense of responsibility. We've already read Isaiah chapter 6. The Lord said, "Who'll go?" And Isaiah said, "I'll go." And then he said, "All right, Lord, how?" And he said, "All right, here's how I want you to do it." And we do have a responsibility to serve our Lord, our master. Of course, the New Testament counterpart to this word is the word kurios. Okay? Some of you are studying a little bit of Greek, all right? Did you see the word kurios? That would be the New Testament form of this word, almost always translated Lord, occasionally translated master. Okay? But you see, that same, what I'm saying is that concept that's introduced in the Old Testament is carried through to the very end of the New Testament. Right? It's used throughout. In fact, it's used more times in the New Testament than it is in the Old Testament. Right? So what does that tell us? Okay? The implications for New Testament believers. Adonai. The name Adonai and all that's wrapped into it reminds us, number one, that God owns us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19. I want to read it so I don't paraphrase it or misquote it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Okay. Verse number 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are, what's the next phrase? Bought with a price. Okay? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay? I mean, a lot of times we concentrate on the your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost part. We concentrate on the glorify God in your body and in your spirit part. But we can't overlook the you're bought with a price part. Okay? Every one of us understands what it means to buy something and to say that it's mine. I mean, you want to see that concept illustrated? Go downstairs to the Sunday school, give those kids two $1 bills, tell them they can go over here to the Chinese junk store, I mean Mighty Dollar, and buy whatever they want. Okay? Quality merchandise has a parking lot guarantee. Guaranteed to work until you get it to the parking lot. Okay? But you give it to them, they go in there and buy something, and then they bring it home, and then you say, all right, well, I want this. This is mine. What's that kid going to say? It's mine. Why is it yours? I bought it. Okay? We understand that concept when it comes to things we can touch. I'm not sure that we remind ourselves frequently enough that we're bought. Okay? We don't own ourselves. God, our Lord, our Master bought us, meaning He owns us. Okay? And tied in with that, if He owns us, He's our Master. Right? God is our Master by position. Right? What do I mean by that? 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us we're bought with a price. I mean, that is His position. If I would say, is Jesus your Lord, you would have to say yes. Okay? That is His position. That is His right. Okay? But it should be that God is our Master by our practice. Okay? What I mean is, we know that right answer. Is Jesus your Lord? Yes. Okay, don't answer this out loud, but if I were to put this question to you, do you live like Jesus is your Master? If you were put on a lie detector and sitting on electric probes that were going to send a shock through you if you gave a lie, and you were forced to answer that question truthfully, do you live like Jesus is your Master? How would you have to answer? I mean, I think even the most sincere one here would have to acknowledge, I'm not perfect. I don't do it like I should. And I understand that. But let me ask you this. Are you making an effort to understand what your Master wants you to do and to do it? Or are you just trying to live like, la 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 la, hopefully He won't thump me on the head and really get my attention and tell me what He wants me to do, because I'm sure if He wants me to do something that I don't want to do, I'm going to hate it. I'm going to embarrass Rick Lynn for just a second, but there was a time in Brother Lynn's life when if you told him he was going to pastor a church and stand in front of a group of people and preach every week, he would have told you, I'd rather lay on a bed of nails, something to that effect, right? Okay? But when he finally said, all right, Lord, I'll do it, you know what he found out? God had a place where he and his family fit perfectly. And God can enable him to do what he knew in himself he couldn't do. Okay? But many times we're so afraid, oh, God's going to make me do something awful. I mean, what is the root understanding of that? I know best, and God doesn't. Now, when I say it out loud that way, that sounds awful, doesn't it? We would never say that. God knows best, brother. That's the way we would say it. But when it comes right down to it, when I say, oh, if I surrender to the will of God, it's going to be horrible. What we're really saying is, I know what I want, and what I want is best, and if I listen to what God wants, it's going to be terrible. We don't verbalize it that way, but by our actions, that's what we would demonstrate. Okay? If He is Lord or Master, and He is, then we must not just acknowledge that that is His position, but we must demonstrate that in our practice, that is, by how we live. We must live like He is our Lord. Okay? I understand now, I've quit preaching and gone to meddling. But if He's our Lord and Master, He must be obeyed. His desires must be sought. Okay? If He is my Lord and Master, then I should seek to please Him more than anyone else. Okay? If He's my Master, if He's the one that owns me and is in charge of me, then I should try to make Him happy. Okay? Yes, that means I should try to make Him happy more than I try to please my wife or my children, more than I try to please my boss, more than I try to please, you know, whoever it is. But you know who the biggest one is? Not any of those that I've named. The biggest one is I need to please my Lord more than I try to please myself. Because if I get that one straight, the rest of them will fall into place. Okay? But if he is the Lord, and he is, I mean, in fact, what he's reminding us by using this name over and over and over again is that he is our master. He is our owner. He's the one that has the right to tell us what to do. You know, if you were to substitute, you know, the next week, if you are reading your Bible, in your personal Bible reading, every time you see the word Lord, substitute master and see how that would change your thinking of what it means for you. Okay? Because it's not just enough to say Adonai. That's a special form. It's a special plural possessive form. And well, it has reference to the Godhead and the persons of the Godhead. And it was only used of God. And it's used 1,300 times. Great. Okay? I mean, that's part of the study. But what's more important is when we leave here this week, do we live like he's Lord and Master? Or do we live like I'm in charge? Okay? That is what the name Adonai means for New Testament believers. It's our responsibility this week to live like our Lord wants us to. How do I know? Ask him. Read the instructions he's already given you. It's a great place to start. And then when we do that, he gives us the next step that we need. Okay? But Lord, Master, it is his title. We must live like he is our owner. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths. And Lord, we ask you to forgive us where we live for ourselves and not for you and for other things. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to reflect on the fact that you own us. And Lord, to live in light of that in the coming weeks. Lord, thank you for your love, for your mercy. And Lord, thank you in spite of how we don't live up to that, we can still have that relationship, that loving, tender, caring relationship with you. We thank you for it. We pray your blessings on Pastor and the preaching service to come.